Julian Morrow with you. This is Friday Drive on RN. And now to the latest and incredible revelations relating to the Australian Defence Forces. Of course, we've seen in the last day very strong messages from the head of the Australian Army, the Army Chief Lieutenant General David Morrison, saying that, you know, admitting that there was a systematic problem and referring to up to 90 soldiers, some of them senior officers, who are being investigated over the distribution of explicit emails of sexual encounters with women. That's despite reviews into the treatment of women and the use of alcohol and social media within the military as a result of the now infamous 2011 ADF Skype scandal and a series of reviews into these issues. Joining us now to discuss the latest developments is Dr. Catherine Sperling. Dr. Sperling served with the Australian Navy and has taught at the Australian Defence Force Academy. Dr. Sperling, thanks very much for joining us on Friday Drive this evening.
Good evening, Julian.
Obviously, the allegations are shocking in this case. At the same time, the response of senior leadership within the Defence Forces seems to have been quite strident. What's your overall assessment of the way this has been handled so far?
I think it's actually a really good thing, and that may sound rather strange, but we're going to have quite a lot of bloodletting within the Army because they have a long way to go. When women have only just been allowed, and they haven't got there yet, into the combat arms, you're going to have a lot of reaction that's not favourable against people who are different. And the Navy, as you probably know, has had sort of sex scandals since 1992 when women first went into ships. So the Army has... there's only got 10% women, and they have been previously denied entry into these combat arms. And there's a number of people who really shouldn't be there. I'm actually very impressed with Lieutenant General Morrison's comments, and it's great to see somebody coming up very positively.
It was striking the tenor of the comments, and obviously done a lot of media in the last 24 hours or so. Is this a markedly different response from the very top brass of the Army than there has been in previous situations?
Yes, absolutely. I think I saw a bit of an interview with a previous Chief of Army, and he said he didn't know about it. Now, I'm sorry, but if you're leader of a particular institution, you need to know about it, and you have to know about it. There's no way he didn't know about it. So to see this Chief of Army going absolutely after these individuals who do not belong in the multifarious defence force that this country needs and deserves. These people are perverted. They need to be thrown out. There's nothing good about what they're doing, and they don't belong in an army that has a tremendous tradition in many areas.
At the same time, the internal disciplinary procedures for the defence forces generally can be quite time-consuming. Do you think that action can be taken swiftly in response to these allegations?
Well, we can only hope so, and that'll be the proof of the exercise, I think. If these people aren't removed immediately within a certain period of time, and we're saying with a short period of time, then yes, the whole thing just falls in a heap. And you can't give people a mixed message. You can't say, okay, I'm giving you a delivery on gender and how you should behave, and then tell a dirty joke right at the end. That's what's been happening within the Army for a long time now. And these people don't belong in this military. And it might be a bit outlandish, but I'm just saying that these people actually must have their own confusion about their own sexuality if they have to be macho in a pretense to say, look, actually, I'm a real bloke. So if you can't serve with people of different ethnic origins, different colours, different sexual orientations, then you shouldn't be in the modern military.
Do you have a sense of how people who complain or stand up on these issues are treated within both the Army and the Defence Forces more generally? Because that's certainly what David Morrison was calling for, was those kind of individual acts of courage to stand up against this stuff. How prevalent is that within the culture of the Defence Force?
Well, the whistleblowers haven't done well, and the people who have stood up against this criminal element have not done well. And that, you know, that includes myself. Whenever I come out in with this sort of comment, I receive an enormous number of abusive messages. Somehow they get my email, or somehow they get my telephone. I've even had a death threat. Now, there's something really strange about these individuals, that they can't tolerate any sort of comment about their actions. And I think it's been very hard for people, and this goes for people of... This goes for men too. It's not just women we're talking about. For these people to put their hand up and say, this is what's happened to me, because, yes, they receive dreadful attention. And hopefully this may have gone with the top saying, OK, we aren't tolerating this anymore and we've had enough. And I'm hoping it's not so much the top. It's the middle, higher-ranking officers who don't want it be seen in their to say, oh, this has happened in my command, therefore I'm going to not be promoted. It's those people who must be held accountable.
Well, even though the circumstances do have a kind of feel of deja vu about them, and obviously they're terrible, your optimism is very encouraging. Thank you very much, Dr. Catherine Spurling, for joining us on Friday Drive.
That's a pleasure, Jolene.
And Dr. Spurling served with the Women's Royal Australian Navy after attaining a PhD in military history. She's tutored in history and strategic studies at the UNSW and at the ADFA Academy, and she's a visiting scholar in the School of History at ANU, and a very strong advocate, as you can hear. It's 27 minutes past six on Friday Drive.